Life Sunday. It's a day that is set aside by churches all across our country to remember, to mourn, and to resolve to change the ghastly 1973 Supreme Court decision that legalized the taking of a human life, unborn human life, through abortion on demand. And not just changing the law, but changing the hearts and minds from a culture of death to a culture of life in this country. I've titled the message today, All Lives Matter. And I'm sure you recognize the similarity to the name of the growing African-American movement in our country called Black Lives Matter. And of course, black lives do indeed matter. But due to intimidation from this group, some politicians have actually gotten in trouble for saying that all lives matter. Can you believe that? It's happened. For example, at a rally, Democratic presidential candidate Martin O'Malley was shouted at and booed when he said, "Black lives matter, white lives matter, all lives matter." Later, under pressure for these remarks, O'Malley actually apologized for saying that all lives matter. How could this be? How could such a statement be wrong? Well, comedian and talk show host Bill Maher explained it this way. He said, "All lives matter implies that all lives are equally at risk, and they're not." Now, I'm not what you would call a Bill Maher fan myself, but I do think that in this case, he has a point. Recent census numbers show that black children in the United States are aborted at nearly four times the rate as white children. And Hispanic kids don't fare much better. And so there is truth to the claim that black lives are at much greater risk than other lives in this country. In fact, look at the number of African Americans deaths since 1973. This is amazing. Since 1973, number of black Americans who have died, a little over 200,000 with AIDS, accidents approaching 400,000, cancer over a million, over a million and a half, heart disease over 2 million, violent crimes, this is the one we hear so much about, 300,000, but then consider abortion, 13 million. 13 million lives lost through abortion since 1973. Whether pro-choice proponents realize it or not, abortion is the biggest threat to African American lives. Big abortion, the big money-hungry abortion industry, has done far more to harm black Americans than the Ku Klux Klan could ever dream of doing. It is racist, incredibly racist at heart. Now, and if I'd like to show you that all lives matter this morning. There are two reasons, at least, for that statement. One is that the Bible teaches that all humans are created in God's image, according to Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. We read in the Bible that God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living being. And this sets humans apart from all other living creatures on earth, more valuable than cats or dogs or anything else, far more precious, regardless of gender or race or ethnicity or proximity to the womb, inside or outside. All lives matter. Now, I'll show you another reason in a few minutes, but first, I want to ask you a question. And please, don't raise your hand when I do. Just answer to yourself. How many of you think of yourself as pro-life? Pro-life. If I did ask for a show of hands, I'm confident that the vast majority of people sitting in this auditorium would raise their hands, say, I am pro-life. But after you watch this video, you might change your mind. Are you really pro-life? That's the title of this video. Let's watch it together.
For many years, I thought I was pro-life. Yet, I recently read an article and it convinced me that I'm not. I may have a desire to be pro-life, but my life is really pro-choice. Let me tell you why. The term pro means to be in favor of something. The word life is defined as something that's living that has capacity for growth, reproduction, functional activity, and continual change preceding death. To be pro-life is not a political position. It is a way of life. More specifically, it is the way I live, support, and I protect life. If I truly believe that the unborn child is an alive, developing human life, a person, I will do everything I can to protect and support the continuation of that child's life. My beliefs will equal my actions. While there are extreme circumstances that will test one's moral conscience on this subject, moral truth remains constant. It is wrong to kill an innocent person. Yet, and this is where it hurts, I've done very little to be a voice for life. Let's consider these facts. Number one, human life begins at conception. Considering the definition of life, it is a scientific fact that at conception, there is a newly formed human life, a genetically distinct person. Number two, if we accept this fact, abortion is the taking of an innocent human life. And number three, let's call abortion for what it is. It is the final method of birth control. Though culture uplifts abortion as a reproductive rights choice, it's really about sex. We have placed our desires before others, in this case, our own children. By doing this, we've established a second-class citizenship that has no right to life, no right to liberty, and no right to pursue happiness. We are saying that choice trumps life. Looking at history, we can see where this line of thinking takes us. Slavery, genocide, euthanasia, infanticide, and the devaluation of life. Every day in America, some 3,500 children are aborted. A preborn baby is killed every 25 seconds. It is by far the leading cause of death in the U.S. If we acknowledge a human life, we are morally bound to protect it. Anything less is by default a pro-death declaration. There is no middle ground on this topic. By my own lack of active support of life and the protection of the unborn child, I am pro-abortion by default. Yet, I want to be a voice for life and not death. I want to be part of a real solution, one that protects life regardless of race, gender, age, economic class, or circumstance. I want to, with love, dignity, and compassion, engage the battle for life. What about you? The article I read ended with this simple question, and so will I.
Let me ask the question again. Don't raise your hands. Are you pro-life? Not just talking the talk, but walking the walk. Let me give you some suggestions, some ways in which we can all be pro-life. This hits all of us, myself included. First of all, always vote pro-life. On candidates and on issues. What could be more fundamental than this? Randy, are you a one-issue guy? You bet. Life comes first. In 2015, various Supreme Court rulings demonstrated how devastating it can be to have activist justices on the Supreme Court who disregard the Constitution and legislate from the bench. But guess who appoints the Supreme Court justices? Not to mention the federal justices, judges. Of course, it's the president. It matters. It matters who is in the White House. Another thing that we can do is to share the facts with pro-abortion friends and relatives. The things that we've put up on the screen, and these are all available on the web, share them with your friends. Talk about it. Engage the conversation. Don't avoid it. It's too important to avoid. I know it may be awkward. It may be uncomfortable. But if we can't stand up for life, what can we stand up for? Post things on Facebook that have to do with this is the next point here. Use social media to share the pro-life message. Now, on these last two points, I'd like to share with you a great resource that you can use to pass along to your friends via Facebook or whatever. It's a short pro-life video that is produced by Ray Comfort. It's called 180. Let me show you just the trailer of this video.
Imagine if you could change society's stance on abortion.
How do you feel about the issue of abortion?
I think in some situations it can be necessary.
So have you just changed your mind about abortion?
Yeah.
Would you have a vote for someone who is for the killing of children in the womb?
No.
I believe in someone's right to choose.
Are you going to change your stance on it?
Yeah, it's definitely making me think, yeah.
I feel like it's more of a choice. Yeah, when you put it that way, it does change your mind.
Would you vote for someone who is pro-abortion?
Yeah.
So have you just changed your mind about abortion?
Yes, I have. I believe that people have the right to choose.
So have you just changed your mind about abortion?
Yes, I've just changed my mind about abortion.
Are you going to vote differently in future?
Yeah.
You mean that?
Yeah. Sometimes it's necessary if you're in the situation where you can't support a child.
So you're saying that you're changing your mind about abortion right now?
Yes. Yes.
It's a woman's right to choose, and every situation is a different situation.
So you're going to vote differently and think differently about this?
Yeah, I think I would. I think I definitely would.
I'm for abortion. It's never okay to kill a baby in the womb.
Okay, so you're going to change your mind about abortion?
Yes, I am.
You're going to vote differently in future?
Yes, vote against abortion.
What was it that changed their minds in a matter of seconds?
Maybe you're thinking, how did it happen? Well, check out the movie 180. By Ray Comfort. You can just go to YouTube and find it, or you can go to our webpage, stonycreekchurch.org, and we have it posted there. Also Facebook, right? Facebook. Okay, great. Check that out, and I'll tell you what, pass it along to your friends. You know, share it. Share it. First watch it yourself so you know what's involved, and then if you really want to take a stand, here's a great way to do it. Imagine if all of us did that. how many people we could reach with this resource. Another thing that we can do is support the Crossroads Pregnancy Center. That's in Auburn Hills. There are many great pregnancy centers, crisis pregnancy centers that minister to mostly young ladies, but not just young ladies, and boyfriends or husbands of people that are just, you know, contemplating getting an abortion, or maybe they feel that they have no other choice but to take that route. And what the Crossroads Center and other centers like them do is help these people, get them in touch with people that can provide housing if it's needed, and provide supplies. And they also show ultrasound of what's happening in the womb of that woman so that they can actually see the child. Do you know that that changes the minds of so many women when they see what's actually happening within them? That can save lives. This is a great thing. You know, often we protest against abortion itself, but the church has to really stand up and be there for these women that are in crisis, to help them to see that there are alternatives, adoption chief among them. And the Crossroads Pregnancy Center does this. And it's one of the missions that we support here. At Stony Creek Church, 11% of all the general offering, whatever you put into the offering, 11% of it goes to our missionaries and our mission organizations, one of which is the Crossroads Pregnancy Center. So you can support it that way, or you can support it directly by checking out their website or visiting them. It's a great thing. Some of you could volunteer there or at another center nearby. We have people that do that here at Stony, and it's a great thing. Another thing that we can do is to help out a pregnant woman who has no place to turn. Some of you have done this here, and I applaud you for it. We all need to reach out. It could happen on various levels. Maybe it's somebody that you know, and you could just share the message of life with that young woman. Or maybe it would be, offering a spare room in your house or some other means of support. This could save a life. So be there. Another thing that you can do is to be a good example of Christian values and morality. This is something that really, you know, pays off in the long run. If we're living the life that we're telling others they need to live, we need to be examples, not hypocrites, you know, of the sanctity of life and of marriage. And so this is just, you know, being consistent, walking the walk consistently. And then finally, and so importantly, share the news of forgiveness and wholeness in Jesus. I've had the opportunity on various occasions to spend time with a woman who's suffering terrible guilt over an abortion in her past, or maybe a man who encouraged such a thing. And to be able to share with that person the love of Jesus Christ, that there is forgiveness in him and there is wholeness in him. Some women have been carrying that burden for years, decades, and they've never dealt with it. And a service like this can be painful, can be uncomfortable for a woman or a man in that condition. We need to be there, not to point a finger, but to point not a finger at them, but a finger up to the Lord. Amen? to share the goodness, the forgiveness, the wholeness that is found in Jesus and in the family of God. I spoke earlier of two reasons why all lives matter. One, I said, all humans are created in God's image. But then there's that other important reason, and that is that Jesus died for every human being. Think of that. Contemplate that. It's a staggering truth that Jesus paid for everyone's sins. Not just as a whole, but as individuals. When Jesus hung on that cross, he was paying the penalty for every human being that had ever lived or ever would live. Scripture teaches this. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, it says, he himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not ours only, not just for Christians, but also the sins of the whole world. In Hebrews, it even gets more pointed. The book of Hebrews says he tasted death for every person, individually, every person. That's a staggering truth. That means that he loves every human life, that they're all important to him. Every person, whether in or outside the womb, black or white, young or old, every person. And that means that he died to save every human life. Though we are rebellious sinners, we don't deserve to be saved. It's by his grace, his unmerited kindness, that he saves us. While we were rebels, he extended us grace, offers it to us free of charge through faith in Jesus Christ. Since 1973, in this country, over 57 million babies have been legally aborted. 57 million. That's more than the whole West Coast, all the states along the West Coast combined. 57 million. Jesus died for each and every one of those. Every life matters to God, and therefore should to us too. All of us are sinners, not just abortionists. That's not the unpardonable sin. We're all sinners. We all deserve condemnation. We all need God's forgiveness and his restoration. Thank God he died for us. Whoever trusts in him will not perish, but have everlasting life.